So, Kim, what's been going on with the band? Talk about what Anubis Gate currently has going on, and let's just start there.
Yeah, at the moment we are sort of gearing up for the shortest world tour ever, which will consist of two dates. And originally it was going to be a one-date tour, but we doubled the amount of work. So now we have two dates. And when I say we're gearing up, it means the others are rehearsing, and I'm rehearsing too, at home and learning and relearning the stuff. But it also means that all our equipment lives in my place, I have to set up the sessions for the backtracks and stuff, so that's a pretty huge amount of work, and because when you're relying on a computer to play the keyboards for you, and you don't want it to go down mid-performance, so I'm doing some testing of the setup, and that takes an insane amount of time. So that's what we are doing right now, and just a little bit of writing for the next album. Michael has done some tracks and Henrik has done some tracks, and I'm usually late to the party, so I have a bunch of ideas in my head, but I have nothing down on the hard drive yet. Well, we have some, I shouldn't call them leftovers, but we had some ideas that we didn't use on Covered in Black, and they might or might not pop up on the next album. There are some really cool stuff in there, but and it's shaping up to be I wouldn't say groundbreaking album, because everybody thinks their albums are groundbreaking, but this album is going to be again very different, like Covered in Black was. So,
right.
Yeah, it's some fusion jazz influences are creeping in, and some people will like it and some people won't, but I've kind of stopped caring about that.
Right.
So talk a little bit about the new album and the reception behind it. I know you said there were some mixed reviews behind it, and me personally, I never really go and really read music reviews. I just kind of make my own judgment and go from there. But, I'm quite surprised that it had mixed reviews, because I thought the thing was pretty good. So talk about how it was received. How was this last album received for you?
Well, broadly speaking, it was well received. But there were also some reviewers that are kind of big Anubis Gate champions that kind of, didn't get it. And I was expecting that, actually, because it's a pretty complex and, what should I say, it's downbeat, is that the right word? It's a very introspective album, musically speaking, also lyrically. And, when you do something that's, I wouldn't say it was about myself, but it became a lot about my state of mind when we made the album, because I produce the albums, it's me that pull all the pieces that everybody writes together into songs, and I kind of chose the things that and wrote things myself that kind of reflected where I was, so I immediately knew that there's some that prefer the metal a bit, should I say happier, might be thrown off by our new album, and it's the most uncompromising thing we've ever done, and to be frank, I'm really happy about that. I mean, we're at a stage in our career now where we have the name, so we can also and with that goes the opportunity to take some liberties with the music, and we took them this time, and it's not like we haven't done that in the past, but I think it was much more apparent this time that we could take some liberties and be introspective and dark and disharmonic at times also. So I was fine with not everybody liking it, but I kind of, always scour the internet for new reviews, and that's one of the things especially when you normally get good reviews, that's one of the things that I must admit it gives me a kick. So I don't know if that makes me kind of an egoistic bastard, but it's nice reading good reviews. And it's not like, you know, it's not like the new album was being slacked off by those who didn't give it good reviews. I can see their point of view also, you know, that was kind of saying, you know, oh, that's too introspective and I don't quite follow, and what's this track doing there? I mean, one of the tracks that did kind of get a bit of flack was the track called The New Delhi Assassination. And it's not a very heavy track, it's more atmospheric with a lot of world music influences and things like that. And some people might not like that, and that's a valid opinion. So it's not like I have bad feelings over
right.
reviewers who didn't get it.
Now, it's interesting when you talk about mixed reviews and people not accepting it, because most progressive bands... It seems to be accepted that you guys are going to always do something different without limitation. So it always strikes me as odd when a prog band gets criticized for doing something different, because that's what progressive metal is pretty much all about to begin with.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think we maybe when using the word progressive, there is kind of a distinction to be made between bands that do progress and bands that call themselves progressive, mm-hmm. if you understand what I mean.
Yes.
I mean, there are, I shouldn't mention any, you know, but there are those bands that album after album, they are amazing musicians, but it's all... And you know, every goddamn guitar note has a bass drum kick behind it, and they are also labeled progressive, but in my eyes they are kind of regressive, some of those bands,
right.
And I can't listen to it, and I can't make music. Actually, I think I could make music like that. I could make an album pretty quick, but I wouldn't have the desire to do it. That was a bit harsh slagging off other bands like that. But there are those that are real progressive, you know, like Catatonia. They're an amazing band. I love them. That's true progressive metal to me. That's what progressive means. They are doing progressing from each album, and their new album is out of this world, amazing. And there are, I just love Catatonia, especially their newer works.
So let's talk about the newest album, because the last time you were on the show, we talked about the album before it came out. But now that it is out, let's talk about, you know, some of the concepts and lyrics behind some of the songs on the album.
Yeah, well, it's I wouldn't call it a concept album, but it's a theme album about people who are in dark places in their lives. So, and for whatever reasons, you know, why do people, you know, there is a kind of trilogy about an assassin. Why does he, what ticks him off, and what are his experiences, you know, and what happens, you know, the moment he's got his victim in the crosshair. And there are some reflections on psychological, you can cut that out please, on psychic mental illness and stuff like that. And I think it became that because we had a couple of songs that were in the making. And then I hit rock bottom, actually, and everything ground to a halt for, I can't remember how long now, it was nearly a year. I couldn't really do anything, and I just hung on and kept going to my work and to my day job, and I kept playing gigs with cover bands, but I wasn't being creative, and I was being depressed, and that was where the album title kind of came from, actually. And you know, when I did bounce back, because I'm feeling much better now, but when I did bounce back, everything was changed. And the only way the album could be finished was if it became a bit about me, even though we are four guys in the band. And I raised this with the other guys, and Henrik in particular, and said, you know, there's no way we're gonna finish this album if it's not going to be about where I am, how I'm feeling, and they were okay with that. So so that became the theme for the album, and we are. That's why it's so dark and introspective sounding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only song that was wholly finished before we stopped the album was A Journey to Nowhere, and perhaps The Combat. I don't even think it didn't have to have vocal melodies. It was just the music, and and Michael had done some of Psychotopia, and that was where things stopped. Yeah, I was feeling covered in black, so the album became Covered in Black.
And not long ago, you've put out a pretty awesome box set there, Kim, and that Orbitz box set that came out. A lot of pre-orders for it. A lot of people bought it. And my question for you is this: how did that turn out for you? Are you pretty happy with it? And talk about the Orbitz box set and how that did for you.
Oh, that was an awesome experience, that box set. And we had great help from Lacey Muglow. I hope I pronounced that right, Lacey. I know you're going to listen. who ran the fundraiser for us because we couldn't run it in Denmark because of our tax system, basically. Mm-hmm. So we had to run it all from America. And yeah, the first four albums have been out of print for years, and it got to the point where I was getting messages on, you know, a weekly basis, I would say, from people on our Facebook and on my private Facebook if they were ever going to be reissued. And I was always saying no, because I didn't think it would be financially viable. And then we kind of dug into it anyway, and it was actually a project that took that was 2 years in the making. We ran this fundraiser, and it didn't seem like it would be backed enough. It was the night before the fundraiser was stopping, we still needed something like 100 pre-orders. Mm-hmm. It was amazing, and they all came that night. So, so that was that was another sleepless night there. So we dug up all the old album masters and all the album artwork, and there was a spectacular mistake on the Andromeda Unchained album. I don't know if you noticed, but if you look at the spine of the Andromeda Unchained re-release, it doesn't say Andromeda Unchained. Okay, go look at that afterwards. Say what it really says. See what it really says. And we didn't. That was one of the things we didn't catch when proofreading. And
No, I know. It said Unleashed.
Unleashed. Yeah.
I remember that.
For some reason or another, the only version we had of that artwork had that on the spine, and we didn't catch it because we could have changed it, of course. Yeah. Well, there were those four albums in the box set, and along the way we had a good deal of unreleased tracks. You know, we've always made a point of kind of recording a couple of cover songs just for the fun of it during the sessions of an album, and this seemed like the right vehicle to get them out. And we had some live stuff in there, and some of it we had been giving away as a free download. No, it was not a free download. It was as a hidden file on the Horizons album, actually. If you put the CD on, there is a zip file on it, if you put it in your computer.
Right.
And we put that in there, and we had the only three songs that didn't have, or was it two? Three songs that didn't have technical issues from a recording. The only concert we ever gave with Jacob Hansen as a singer. So we put that on there, and then we had for the second CD, we had a full rehearsal of the set that we were going to do at Prog Power Atlanta. And it was only ever recorded for evaluation purposes, you know, adjusting the backtracks and see what might need a little more work when we played it. And we thought, well, we thought that would be a good opportunity to crank it up in their own living rooms and see what they missed when we didn't get to Atlanta. Which, of course, that we had to cancel that because I wasn't well.
Right.
So that was in the same period as where we didn't get any writing done for. Where I didn't get any work done for Covered in Black.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the reception was very good for that box set, and I'm really proud of it. I mean, just looking back on it, I think, you know, how many musicians can ever say that they released a box set of rarities and old albums? You know, that was that was a bucket list moment, actually, for me.
So is that stuff still available? Can you download some of those tracks and off that box set?
Well, the old albums, the first four albums are available on iTunes. So mm-hmm. you can get them there, and they're on Spotify and all those We'll Steal Your Money services. There, I said it. But the things that are on discs 5 and 6 in the box set, they are exclusive to the box set. I don't think they will be made available.
Mm-hmm.
They might be in some years. I don't know. It's hard to say because people are also asking for vinyl reissues, and I mean, vinyl is really expensive, and all the albums we've ever done would have to be double album or triple albums to get decent quality out of the vinyl,
right?
Because our albums are so long, and I really don't think. There may be 100 people will buy it, but they would have to cost, you know, $50 an album or something like that, and
right.
people are not going to give you that kind of money. So
I don't know. You'd be a little bit surprised by that.
Yeah, I might be. You know, perhaps I'm biased because I'm not a vinyl man myself. I don't know. I mean, one of the biggest moments in my life was when I got my first CD player, and I didn't have to flip the album. Yeah, I don't know. It might happen, but probably not.
Right.
Vinyl reissues, that is.
Well, you can always issue it, do a limited run, and then... You know, maybe if someone buys the record, they can get a download of the album as well, and it might incite some sales. I mean, that's something that a lot of bands and a lot of labels are actually doing that now.
Yeah, and, I know Amazon, it's kind of like Amazon Prime just with albums. I think it's a great thing to do, actually, with that vinyl download, because if people want it on their phones or iPods or something, they don't have to rip it into play the album into their computer, and maybe they don't have a good sound card, and they'll get a crappy quality rip, and you know, it's a good thing, those download cards, you know.
Right.
So I would say I was kind of sad that the Beatles didn't do that with their recent Christmas record release, you know, which I haven't got yet, but I will get it, you know. I will have to rip them myself, dig out my old turntable.
So have you started writing for another upcoming album at all? You know, have you done any songwriting yet?
Oh, yeah, well... it hasn't really gone that far, you know. Henrik just finished a number. I urged him to try to do a number all by himself, which, you know, it's sometimes funny when people finish things themselves, and because there might be some different angles on it. And I mean, some of my favorite tracks of Iron Maiden are the ones that some of them wrote themselves, you know, like you know, Adrian Smith, you know, writes amazing songs, and things get a bit watered down when Steve Harris is poking around in his stuff.
Right.
So I thought that what might be interesting, an interesting diversion to take, you know, to get people to get Anubis Gate to go a little bit further in finishing their songs. And so that might be something we do for the next album, or it might not be, because I mean, Michael has a lot of stuff lying around, and Henrik did this song, and you know, maybe everything else will be collective, and maybe I'll end up combining, you know, everything like I usually do. But it's an interesting experiment, because we never really did many songs in the past that were one person who did everything on them.
Right.
I'm not talking about playing everything on them, but I'm talking about composing finished songs. So I think we'll try that a bit more. And we also have a project that's lying a bit dormant right now, which we talked about could be a vinyl only. Actually, project with cover versions of things, and we have done six or seven tracks this far, and we've done we went really far with rearranging most of it. So I mean, imagine it's not like it's one of those recording, but if you imagine Slayer's South of Heaven done as a ballad on acoustic guitars, you know, that's how far we went with rearranging those cover songs.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, imagine Back in Black done as a kind of Pink Floyd type of track. That's sort of things like that, and it might get released or it might never be released. We don't know, but it's those are sometimes the kind of projects that that we do when we haven't really started a new album. And I wouldn't say we have not really started writing for the new album. We have just some ideas lying around, and you know, some of the first ideas for an album, they tend to be the one that doesn't make it, actually, because you know, when you write, you know, we usually take 3 years to write an album. So some of the first things that get written, you know, they're often kind of outdated when we get to the late era of writing albums. So I don't know if any of this new stuff that I'm talking about, that kind of jazz fusion vibe that it has, will make it to the album.
You mentioned releasing a darker album. My question for you is this: is there any specific direction you are looking to go in for this album, you know, as far as songwriting goes, or do you just start songwriting and, you know, you know, whatever comes out comes out?
Whenever I write that comes out, that's what where we end. We have often talked about when we are in the phase of starting up a new album, oh, it could be fun to do an album without distorted guitars, or it could be fun to do a country western album, or you know, I mean, we have all those crazy ideas, and once we get writing, you know, they never come through, and the album turns out very, very different than what we imagined.
Mm-hmm.
So let me rephrase that. The best albums are the albums that were the inspiration, where you don't will it, you just let it come to you. And maybe that's why I also feel a kind of it's always difficult to start a new album, because I'm always waiting for things to come to me, you know, that divine inspiration. And you know, sometimes that takes time, but I've learned to trust in the process by now. It will come. It might take some months, or it might take a year to come, but it will come.
Kim, any last words to the fans as we're ending off this interview, but anybody that's going to be listening to this?
Famous last words.
As always.
As always. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to the interview, and I think we can assure you that Anubis Gate is not a, even though we're an old band, we're not a done deal yet. So stay put, and I hope you'll join us on our next journey.